Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and our conversation today is with Dana Brown, Assistant Director of Administration, and Steve Colo, Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Secret Service. Well, Steve, you mentioned that this was one of your jobs earlier in terms of protecting the president or the presidential campaign. What are the logistics involved in such an enormous task?
Well, logistics are formidable. Think about a presidential campaign where the polls really oftentimes dictate where a candidate will be going from day to day. And the Secret Service is mandated to get to that site ahead of time, doing site surveys and putting up a infrastructure so that these people can be relatively safe, and yet we can't be so intrusive. So there's a balancing act. It is very difficult to say the least. And in this campaign, for example, the difference between the amount of sites and stops that we had done in the year 2000 as opposed to 1999 was almost a 30% increase in activity. So you can imagine when you have a fairly static pool of people and you need to improve your travel by about 30%, it is not only a logistical nightmare, but you talk about a budget nightmare, and I can turn right over to Dana and he can answer that issue.
Probably the most difficult thing for us is that we can't predict travel. So much of that is dependent upon the individual protectees, what their responsibilities will be, or what their interests are, where they're going to travel, and world events. And world events influence a lot of the travel. So while we can take a look at past years and come up with estimates, what we can't do is project, you know, factually what's going to be the next year's cost. And as Steve pointed out, airfare, hotel cost, overtime, all those are issues that are paramount in dealing with a protective mission. And again, we have very little independent influence over that. We don't necessarily tell people where they can or can't go, when and when they can't go there. The urgency of the travel, the short notice sometimes also curtails our ability to have more influence over some of the issues we might otherwise be able to control in terms of cost.
And how do you manage the balance between perhaps a candidate's desire to be out amongst the people and a need to keep them away from certain groups of those people?
Well, it really depends on the situation. If an individual is going to some place and some spontaneous location where there's not a lot of warning ahead of time, we have a comfort factor that you wouldn't have if it is well known and it's published in newspapers. And that is the problem in the democracy that we live. We need to make that balance because in our political systems, the politicians need to be among the people. And we have to sometime realize that we will not get our way all the time. And it's a matter of doing threat assessment. Once again, it depends on the circumstances, obviously the crowd, and you know, we certainly do. We inform these different people that we protect of the situations that we go in, and we work with them to make sure that they get the exposure, but they're protected also.
What's protective research?
Well, protective research is the division of the Secret Service that handles most of the scientific and technical support programs. It consists of our Information Resource Management Division, which I have direct oversight, which is basically our information technology part of the Secret Service. It has our intelligence division, which they handle all the threats or potential threats against the president, the vice president, and the various people that we protect. It has the technical security division, which really handles most of the fixed site security for our protectees, whether they're temporary at hotel. They set up really kind of the perimeter and countermeasures, whether they're chemical or biological countermeasures, make sure that there's radiation countermeasures in effect. They have a lot of really interesting programs, a lot of which were classified, especially around the White House. So they're responsible for the alarms at the White House, all the cameras. And then we also have what we call the National Threat Assessment Center, and that's the staff that handled what we talked about before about the school, initiative and the violence in schools, and also the exceptional case study project. And finally, the last division under that is really our Emergency Preparedness Office, which handles all the contingency plans for the Secret Service.
Could you describe the career path available to agents and the type of training they get?
New agents come on board through the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. That's their first introduction. It's a general criminal investigations background. Then they come up to the Rally Training Center, which is our facility at Beltsville, for their Pacific Secret Service training. Throughout that, it's about 16 to 18 weeks, I guess, now. It's quite a long time. It's very intensive, and we think it's probably some of the best training in the world, certainly specific to what we do as an organization. From that, those agents are dispatched to various field offices throughout the country. Generally speaking, they can expect to spend 3 to 5 years in a field office before going to a second assignment. Generally speaking, that second assignment will be a protective assignment of some nature, either to one of the two large details, the presidential, vice presidential detail, or one of the support details for the former presidents. From there, they'll generally transition to a headquarters assignment somewhere in Washington, D.C., if they're in proximity, or back to the field. We now have set into place a new career planning that's been developed over the last couple of years, and we're in the initial stages of implementing that now. And we feel, with the influx of new agents that we've had over the last several years, that our average agent in the field now probably has 4 to 5 years in the job. The demographics have changed a lot over the recent past. We've hired more young people. We've lost some very senior people. So this will probably afford us the opportunity to provide these agents greater latitude than those of us that are more senior may have had in the past. And we think that there'll be some kind of unique opportunities for those that want to remain in the area where they have started, provided it's probably an area that lends itself to it, principally an area with a larger field office. Perhaps they could do most, not all, of their career in there. Of those that don't want to have a protective background and do that, they can do that as well. Those that want to have a investigative career track, once you've done some protection, you can go back to the field and actually maintain a supervisory position back there. And then you have the standard management track, where you would migrate through all the various aspects of the Secret Service, investigative, protective, as well as administrative, in the pursuit of reaching a higher level than the Secret Service. Going back against one more to this well-rounded perspective, which we've somewhat prided ourselves on over the years.
Almost all agencies have developed strategic plans and performance assessments as part of GEPR implementation. How well is the Secret Service doing in meeting its performance goals?
Well, Dean and I are both very strong believers in strategic planning, and we really push this issue because I think that's the cornerstone which everything else falls under. After we completed the overall strategic plan for the Secret Service, I worked on and completed a information technology strategic plan and actually went back to all the assistant directors and interviewed them to make sure that the business aligned with the technology. We're very pleased in how that ended. Now, as to the performance measurements. I talked about it a little bit before about the counterfeit currency, and we're very pleased that we actually had a reduction of 12% in a very, very busy year. And although it's very difficult not to just show statistics, statistics certainly in the law enforcement community is very important because you gauge the amount of arrests from year to year, but also now we are forced to look at really the quality of the arrests and the quality of the cases that we handle to say what impact they have on the overall population. So we really have changed the way that we use the statistics for performance measurements. And probably Danny could probably talk a little bit more of that.
What I would say is we're trying to align the financial plan, I think, more with the performance measurements issues than perhaps we have in the past. We've set into place over the last year a number of mechanisms within the Secret Service that we think will provide us kind of a unique opportunity to develop more of a protocol for how we look at the strategic plan, performance measurements, and the financial plan by making the process much more inclusive. Whereas in the past, the Office of Administration might have had pretty much independent responsibility for making some budget issues, whereas now we've included all the assistant directors' offices in making those decisions.
It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour in just a few minutes.